some good luck. I need a best friend. I need a rough dog. I need a mountain.
It's 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. We're for the next hour program. And the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's time for Talk Animals. Hold on to your hats, folks.
Representation of patriarchal values. Meat eating is the reinscription of male power at every meal. The patriarchal gaze sees not the fragmented flesh of dead animals, but appetizing food. Vegetarian activities counter patriarchal consumption and challenge the consumption of death. Feminist vegetarian activity declares that an alternative worldview exists, one which celebrates life rather than consuming death. One which does not rely on resurrected animals, but empowered people. If meat is a symbol of male dominance, then the presence of meat proclaims the disempowering of women. Notion of objectification one step further. Not only have we objectified animals, but in objectifying them, we take what we want from them and leave the rest out. We leave their death out and we take their bodies. We leave the images of their death out, but take the meaning of meat and apply it to women.
That's fine. Or you can bring it in, Liz. We're not even going to pretend to have any kind of on-air decorum at this point today. But let's get a little... Okay. All right, that's music from Consolidated with a song called The Sexual Politics of Meat. A particularly apt opening number, I'd like to think, as we slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine, and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole enterprise, the whole shebang, the whole enchilada is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. And I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. We're going to have cool cooking and food conversation, and so you definitely want to call in, and we'll get to that specifically in a moment. Other ways to be in touch is emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our fabulous website at talkinganimals.net. Before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another rousing rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, we primarily strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a reasonable balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website at www.talkinganimals.net, where nearly every show we've ever broadcast is archived. How about that, folks? But clearly the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. And today, our guest is Tanya Petrovna, the chef executive officer. That's no typo, folks. It's the chef executive officer of Native Foods California Vegan Restaurants, which opened a Costa Mesa location several months ago. And Tanya's going to talk to us about veggie cooking, her background, her cooking classes and seminars, the Native Foods operation, and other topics, all while preparing some dishes here in the KUCI studio. She's already here. Hi, Tanya. Let me get all these microphones up and running, because we also got Liz here, we got Nancy here. Sorry, what was the dog's name?
Joey.
Joey's here somewhere.
Joey's a girl, too.
Oh, cool.
Joey girl.
Good. Joey girl. So, anyway, we're going to take your calls at 949-824-5824. Tanya's actually going to prepare dishes. It's the Bali Burger.
We're doing the Bali Burger,
that's a signature dish there at Native Foods, one of the many, I should say. And so she's going to cook that, and we're going to find out how that works and find out all about veggie diets and eating and stuff. We might even skip the news. And so, in fact, let's just get right into things. Tanya, what's first of all, welcome officially to Talking Animals. We're so glad that you're here.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here.
Cool. And there are a few aspects of your background and history I want to delve into as we cook along or get ready to cook along. But not surprisingly, I want to start with animals. We got Joey here, but I assume something tells me you're an animal person from way, way back.
Way, way back. Yeah, I would say the cat, the first cat I had when I was 3 that we ended up, I had till I was 18. And I was always, the animal kid. It really, stray dog, you know, they were in my house. And my parents, what are you doing with another dog? What are you going to do with it kind of a thing? And it was sort of at that point, from picking up the strays and working with volunteer walking dogs in shelters so they didn't get so-called cage rot. I learned all about these things by the time I was in 8th grade. And then it was about that time, I can say the changing point was we had to do a report on crime in a 9th grade class. And the teacher had written all the different kinds of crimes. Number one was animal cruelty. So I said, oh, I'm going to do that report on crime. And I remember writing to the San Diego Humane Society at the time, this was years ago, but they sent me Polaroid pictures of what they find.
Oh my God.
Do. And I was it was amazing. So, I mean, cats that were just beaten so badly by their own, I mean, really, you know, harsh thing. You see that and you realize this is reality and we're going to do something to stop it. And I think the other thing was an ad about saving the whales and how they suffer, how they're harpooned with their babies running alongside them, and, well, you know, for what? So as one mentor had said to me, one of my mentors said what his life is, nothing has to die in order for me to live. And I kind of hit home, and then I thought, what I'm eating, and there it goes. So went veg at 18 when no one could tell me what to do anymore. You know,
oh, really?
Righteous thing.
And did you want to go veg before 18, but because?
I thought about it. It was just a little harder. I sort of was, but I was still, back then, too, I was like the only one thinking this way. There's a few others.
Right, you were like the freak on the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know, so you were hanging out with your friends and doing stuff. And so it was back there. It was just sort of working its way up front and forward and, you know, without any other kind of support. But,
Liz, you can put headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
Then you can hear exactly everything, well, better probably. How's that? All right, I mean, everybody should have headphones on. That's what
my
including Joey. We have headphones for Joey.
Yeah, it feels like we're going somewhere too,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Right, yeah, we're about to take off. Yeah, right. But, wow, okay, so from 18, and were none of your friends really thinking that way, or were a few?
And I had to find some other links. Yeah. I was cautioned, you better read about this. You better read everything about being vegetarian. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So I got all these books, and I thought, well, if these people had read with they, you know, they told me to read, they'd be jumping on ship with me, and this is the only way to go. Because I think the more informed you are about the subject, the more you realize it is a better way to go completely.
So, in other words, were they telling you to read it, like, thinking that this would sort of disabuse you of that?
No. Just in support. You know, well, gee, you're going to miss, you're not going to get your protein, your vitamins, all this stuff that they, I guess, thought came from just eating meat, which... Once you read, you find out, not true, not at all, not necessary. And then you start to learn about what people eat, mostly all over the world, that takes care of those protein needs and what have you. So you're not alone by any means. Most of the world's population is kind of living that way, has been successfully for centuries.
Yeah.
So it's all right.
Yeah.
It was all okay. And plus, I was a bio major in school, so that was helpful because I understood.
Oh, wow.
In college,
amino acids.
What is a protein?
Yeah.
What is an amino acid?
Yeah.
You know, and I'll say the biggest thing I get a lot today, well, first, now with the Atkins diet, which, you know, do we have to talk about that?
No, I didn't bring it up. Yeah.
Well, the whole protein thing, the whole thing was, it was that proteins, you're not going to get enough protein, how much protein? You know, oh my God, I feel like I need my protein today. And I will always ask the question, well, how much protein do you need? And no one knows. Yeah, so they sort of assume they need protein when they're feeling a little weak and run down, not necessarily, you know, all the great vitamins and stuff that you might get out of just a bowl of steamed greens, you know? That might just, that it probably is what they need more.
Really?
Just protein they think they're lacking, which most Americans eat way too much protein. The kidneys and many other things suffer from that, but la-di-da-di-da.
Yeah.
This is more about eating fun things. So what I just want to do with native foods anyway, this is in the background. I was raised with very foodie family, European, you know, food. Mother was like the food goddess, Julia Child. I say, made Julia Child look like a Taco Bell commercial. Mom was like really like wiped out on, this is how you have to serve this.
Oh, really? Wow.
And my father was like 5-star maitre d', old European school. So we would travel to Europe and just eat. This is what you'd find way before it was popular.
Fashionable.
And then again,
yeah.
I was always like the odd kid out, but I liked this stuff, you know, even though it wasn't vegetarian growing up. I knew flavors, and I knew what was supposed to go with this, and how you're supposed to present this and that. So I had a lot of gourmet flavor stuff going on in my head. So I thought, now if you can make it fun for people, make it really taste good, we need to get something out there that the world can try. So everybody has a choice. So they don't think, one, it's bland beans and rice. Just like vegetarian had this rap, like 60s vegetarian cuisine, that it could take a whole new angle, so let's show people what it's about in a fun way. So when you go outside and you get hit on the head, or you watch, you know, what you should or shouldn't be eating, you have a safe place to run to. It's good, it's fresh, it's fun. Fun is the big word. We should all have fun eating, enjoy eating, because it's a great thing to do. It gives us all the energy we need to sustain our lives, and let's make it fun.
So when you were traveling, like in Europe with your folks, like that, now at that point you had already turned vegetarian.
Well, at one point,
so,
before that, though, when I was even younger, before
18,
we were going, you know, that was no.
Okay.
Not at that, you know, yes and no.
Right.
And then afterwards, I've traveled on my own and lived in Japan for a year. And it actually was in college that it really struck me, when I was studying chemistry with a friend that had been, who was the brain in chemistry. Thank God I sat next to her all the time. But she she was also gone macrobiotic, and I was just learning about macrobiotics. And so the whole science of food and eating became really interesting.
Wow.
Macrobiotics, it's just sort of eating balanced in a way, yin and yang, the contractive expanse. You know, you learn, and all of a sudden, when you're studying chemistry, you understand that, oh my gosh, it's just kind of like another balance of the chemical equation with what you eat, how your body tries to get back to balance all the time. So
it really sounds like you had the early vegetarian kind of leaning, and you had your folks who were really, really foodies, I mean, but high level, again, before it was fashionable, and the scientific thing that you kind of brought to it that was another kind of key influence that...
Right, that helps me, you know, that I can understand, that I could read scientific journals and kind of have some idea of what's going on there, or understand. So... Yeah, I felt like I was plopped down. I'm supposed to do this, folks, so bear with me. Just hang in there and come and eat some good food.
Yeah.
So I want to make it easier for people. I don't expect everyone to be a scientist. I don't expect to be everyone to be having the animal experiences I had or seen what I've had. I don't expect anything. But I will just use my experiences to do what I feel I need to do in the world. And, you know,
and when did those things all kind of coalesce into starting to do your own veggie cooking?
Well, you know what? I'll say this. When I was... in college, because I'd taken some time off to go travel again and live in Japan and go abroad, that I came back and I rented a room from a lady who was making fresh tempeh and seitan. And that was like bells and whistles, voo voo, lightning strike.
Wow.
Do you have any like sound effects for the lightning?
No, I should have. Okay. I'm sorry. I wish I had been alerted to that. We'll... Yeah.
So that is what happened. And I tasted this fresh tempeh, freshly sauteed, like I will do for you today. You can hear it at least.
Cool.
It's part of cooking is
we like
hearing.
The sizzle.
Sizzle.
Yeah.
Sizzle.
Yeah. We're
like
not getting
sizzle.
The steak here, but we are getting the sizzle,
ooh,
right?
Ooh,
yeah.
Can I use it?
Please. Yeah. We like to share here. So, okay, well, cool. Do you want to start in? We'll still be peppering you with questions.
Yeah, good. And I'll talk about the tempeh a little bit as I get my pan hot here. It's important to have a hot pan. We're going to cook some tempeh, basic tempeh prep, which is actually in the Native Foods Restaurant Cookbook.
Right.
Which we can talk about, which is a fun thing that I had so many requests all these years. You know, our Palm Springs location, first of all, is the first one, opened 10 years ago. Palm Desert, 9 years, and we're in Westwood Village in 4 years now in the UCLA area.
And when did Costa Mesa, I was
nine
trying to remember.
Months, no,
was it
nine months.
Months? Yeah, yeah, I thought it was about that.
Ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we go. So this is in the cookbook, but the tempeh, again, goes back, it's an Indonesian food.
Yeah, let's start at the, as one of your seminars called Vegetarian 101, let's start at the remedial level and tell people what tempeh is and go from there.
Tempeh is soybean in a grain. Sounds bland and boring? Not so, at the end result. What it is, you take cooked soybeans, first you soak them, you cook them and crack them, not too small, not too large. And then it's usually done with rice in Indonesia. It's eaten on every street corner there. But I use millet, you can use any grain. And you take the cooked beans and your cooked grain, which in my case is millet, high in iron. So this tempeh is like a blast, iron blast, so great vegetarian iron source. And you mix them together after they've been cooked and drained, and then you add a starter, like you do with yogurt or sourdough bread. The starter's called Rhizophus oligosporus. It's fun because it comes on rice flour. You can't see the spores, you'd have to see them under a microscope, but it comes in little in bags. It's fun. I should have brought the bag because they come in kilo bags of white powder. It's,
wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Try to get that through airport security.
Well, you know what happened? I left a bag. I took my friend's kid to Disneyland. I left my bag with somebody to put it in the truck after we stayed in the hotel. And I was looking for my bag. It was a cooking supply bag that I was taking, you know, I usually have on the road. And I was kind of freaking out. Someone forgot my bag. And I called. They had had it. In the meantime, I'd been at Disneyland all day with the cell phone off. The police, Santa Ana police, had called, or the Anaheim police, rather, had called the restaurant wondering if anybody knew what this white substance was I had in my bag. They took the whole
thing. Well, thank God
that was a good story.
Thank God you're here with us now.
It's my friend's kid. Yeah. I've got my friend. It's supposed to be the adult example, I tell you.
But is that olive oil that you put in there?
Yes. Now I put a little olive oil in the pan. So I'm heating this while I'm going to tell you quickly. I just take it off the flame a little bit so it doesn't overheat. You do want your olive oil hot before you put the tempeh in. So what happens after you add this culture, this Rhizophus oligosporus, which you may be familiar with yogurt or sourdough bread, and that's all done with starters as well, so it's not too much of a new subject.
Yeah.
And the end result needs 90 degrees, so it needs a warm climate. Yogurt needs like 60 degrees. Everything needs a certain climate. And so we 90 degrees for about 24 hours. And the result of what it is, this culture is like a mushroom, and it grows through the loose grains and beans, so what becomes loose is now solid, or what was once loose is now solid. It smells like freshly baked bread when you walk in the room. I do them in trays, so you can take the trays then, we take them, cut them into squares, and we then use them, and that's the Bali burger. So it has a very mild flavor and delicate texture, which at any angle I cut it, from just serving the square in a burger, because it's a fun burger, I can cut it very thinly sliced at an angle, call it scallopini, and serve it with a delicious, we do like a shiitake mushroom or wild mushroom sauce.
Yeah.
Anything else you like. I do a Provençal sauce with artichoke hearts and Kalamata olives. And we have a lot of fun with the tempeh. And it really does, it's a very, takes a gourmet like form. Okay, so the trick is here, we want the oil hot.
So for those that can't see it from here,
yes.
It almost looks like a slice of bread that has the crusts off, right?
I guess you could say that, but upon closer observation, you see all the beans and
of
grains,
course,
so it looks like
right.
something, and it's very right. like a light white, you know,
I
going
mean, from,
through
from
it.
My distance, it almost looks like vaguely rice cake-ish,
yeah.
just in
there
terms
you
of,
go.
Yeah.
You could
yeah,
say that,
yeah.
but again, it's soft, it's pliable,
sure, yeah,
it's not
yeah,
firm.
Yeah, but I mean, just in
it
terms of texture.
If I hold it,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
So now we're going to go, and this is the part I like. You want to get your oil hot enough so you get the sizzle going on.
Yeah, we love the
Don't
sizzle.
Have the steak,
we
move but
that,
we got the sizzle.
Right,
okay,
see, there we go. Yeah, it's already working.
Oh, yeah.
Got it?
Nice.
Okay.
Let me just remind people we're Talking Animals on 80.9 FM KUCI. We have Tanya Petrovna, the chef and guiding force of Native Foods, California Vegan Restaurants. And you can join the conversation. If you have any questions, tempeh, but anything veggie-related, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. All right.
Okay, so tempeh. So it's soybean and millet. We do a starter. We do 90 degrees, 24 hours. We mix the cooked grains and beans together with the starter. 90 degrees, 24 hours, comes out, slice it, saute it, mild flavor, delicate texture, takes on what you want to do with it. Great stuff. High in iron, high in B12, great protein source, complete protein, soluble fiber, it's got it all in there. So.
And Tanya, do you have to refrigerate that once you've made the...
Once I make the tempeh, now in Indonesia, mind you, because it's cultured product, it continues to... culture, and it gets stronger, like, you know, Lindberger cheese can get really strong. So as soon as it's ready, for the Western palate, I like to pull it right now, and then I'll freeze it so it stays at that, where it is, so the culture stops growing for that moment. So what happens then, it's nice, and I call it more of a sweeter side. Now, if I let it go for a while, in Indonesia, because they don't have a lot of refrigeration, they've learned to like it really strong, like they'll simmer it in coconut milk sauces, and it's tangier, gets a little... hang to it, and it can be like almost sourish, you know, but that's good. But I pull it at its sweetest stage, so I guess can enjoy it that way. So, well, it's what I'm looking for is when I saute the tempeh on one side, it's very simple again, just a little olive oil in the bottom of the pan. I'm looking for golden brown, like French toast.
Wow, cool.
And there we have it.
Wow, that
looks lovely. So as it flips over.
Yeah, it really does look like French toast.
At this point, now you're looking at French toast.
Yeah,
okay?
Cool.
Golden brown. And let the second side brown just a little more. And then what I do for a flavor base, it's fine. This way just doesn't have a lot of flavor. I have something, what I call our deglaze, which is a simple soy sauce, water, a little ginger, garlic, onion, simmered.
Wow.
Or just
sounds
quickly,
great.
I'll tell people in the cookbook there's a fast version, just... chop a little garlic and ginger, a little soy sauce and water. And why? You just want it very dilute, not too salty, because we're going to put it in the pan here. It's going to evaporate. Just give it a nice glaze. So that's kind of like my deglaze. And simple enough. Now, the Bali surf burger on the menu at Native Foods, we do it just this way. It's going to be on a bun with a little veggies, which is this vegan mayo, which is... everybody likes it. And again, Native Foods, we cater to carnivores, so people that like steaks.
Right, I wanted to, get into some of that with you.
Everybody, you know, loves this stuff, so it's okay. You know, first time might be a little, ooh, but people get addicted to it, so I have everybody eating there. And that's the goal of Native Foods. I can't survive if it's just the vegetarians. They're growing in number, and people want to eat more vegetarian.
Right.
But I would need to cater to everyone, and again, we're trying to educate at Native Foods that vegetarian is not bland and boring. It's not the 60s stuff. I like to say, when they say, oh, vegetarian, it's rabbit food, it's this, it's that. I'd like to say, oh, you're dating yourself. Because it's not that way anymore.
That's all another story.
Yeah, everybody that gets real quiet fast to go, oh, what? Then the ears are open.
Yeah.
Like, trying it anyway.
Yeah.
So,
But that's really the sense I get from you and Native Foods is that it is a low-key approach. You're not proselytizing. You're not trying to make converts. Really, I mean... it seems like, you know, hey, come in, taste this. If you had a burger yesterday, looks like you might have a call. Let's see. Hi, you're on live on Talking Animals with Tanya Petrovna. Hello?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I have a question for Chef Tanya.
Okay,
can you wait till I do the deglaze? Because now this is an important time.
Okay,
go away, because the second side is browning, okay?
All right, this is a dramatic moment.
The second side's nice and brown. Yeah. We're going to take it and...
ooh.
Give it a little glaze going on. Hope it sounds
I'm just hoping there's no sprinklers in here as I think about it. Yeah, that could be ugly, but that could be worse than the bag of flour story. Yeah.
The dog didn't move. Joey's still. She's still looking. She's waiting. Joey loves tempeh.
I wanted to ask Joey. Oh, does she love tempeh?
She does.
Yeah.
So now we've got the second side brown a little bit. I turn the flame off. I've got a little bit of this flavor going on. I'll give it another little shot.
Love the sound.
It's all in the sound. You know, cooking is visual because you're dealing with color. It's sensory because you're tasting. You're using all your senses. You have your tactile, your taste. You've got feeling because you need to feel how it goes. And you've got the sound. So you're like always, you're on all sides. So I'm sorry for the caller. Yes.
Sorry, caller.
Hello?
Caller?
Hi.
Oh, hi there.
You're back.
Hi.
I was wondering, how easy is it for babies to digest tempeh?
Depending on what age, you know. How old is the baby?
8 months.
Not yet. You know, actually, they say that it, I was just reading, it should be more like cooked pureed grains is probably the best way you want to start with.
Okay.
Like grains and greens. Actually, I should put a little note up on the website about that. Thanks for reminding me, because, you know, young babies at this point, tempeh is a little bit more of a...
More than they can digest or handle,
yeah,
kind of?
And, yeah, and right now, in the salt and all that, you want, you don't need to add any of that yet to their diet, you know?
Okay, so well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I love your restaurant in Costa Mesa.
Thanks. Yeah, stick with some greens and get one of... I mean, you know what? I've ordered for the restaurant, too, some food mills for babies that you can...
Oh,
feels a little plastic.
Oh,
just to... You can put your food in the food mills. So I'm trying to make it easy for all members of life.
Oh, that's great.
And
so
along those
tuned.
Lines, Tanya, what...
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
One of the things... We're just going to sort of jump around.
Yeah.
One of the things I definitely want to make sure people are aware of, among many things, is your Monday night... Sorry, I got so caught up in the conversation.
Oh, it wasn't the fire alarm, good thing.
No, I know, better that. But anyways, your Monday night chats
okay.
and seminars
Monday night
and
chats.
Stuff?
Because I didn't bring a copy.
Okay,
have
yeah,
that out.
No,
what,
I've got...
What's happening is...
I think the first one, at least that I know of, that's kind of cool, is on the 19th, Vegetarian 101.
The 19th is when I'm starting. And
yeah.
What it is with the whole camp over there, it's the shopping center is called The Camp.
Right, it's right across from the lab. It's
right,
on Bristol for
right.
people who haven't
Same
been there.
Owner
yeah,
did both. Everybody in the camp's trying to do something for summer. Billabong's doing some sessions for kids to learn how to get sponsored for surfing. A16, the adventure store, has got some talks, which we usually supply some samples for whenever you go to their talk.
Yeah, it's called the Life Series, right?
Life Series
Healthy Living Programs to Nurture the Body, Soul, and Mind.
Yes, thank you. So everybody's
yeah.
doing something. The bike shop's got bike rides. You guys can join in and come on down every, I forget what day they're doing it, Wednesdays or something. Anyway, so I'm going to do a little series so you can bring your friends that don't know anything about vegetarian or people that might want to know a little more about it. And just it's hour on Monday nights, every other Monday, starting on the 19th. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, with Vegetarian 101.
Vegetarian 101, 6 to 7. And so half the time I'm going to, Vegetarian 101, I'm just going to cover little things like what does it mean to be a vegetarian, vegan? What are the food alternatives we'll show, the tempeh? And the other foods we work with, the seitan and some of the soy proteins. Just a little quick rundown. These are quick, if you can have an hour, and then we're going to sample, so it's fun. There's going to be something on kids down the road, organics.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, I mean, you know, by way of sort of mentioning this, but let's just say also, too, one thing I was really struck by, just being an elephant freak myself, is that it's free, but you're saying there's a $5
yeah.
voluntary donation, and if people do that, that will go to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee.
Yeah, which you should all go to elephants.com.
Yeah.
And actually, nativefoods.com, I do have the series outline, exactly what I'm saying at each talking about.
Yeah,
each
I should have
one.
Mentioned that before. It's a great website. It's nativefoods.com, and there's all kinds of stuff about you, about the cookbooks, about the Monday
yeah.
night series, and
you links know, whenever
and...
time I can do some stuff. But the elephants.com is about... Yeah, these elephants that used to be, the lady that started it used to
is
you
that
know,
the
have
one near Knoxville?
Yeah.
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 And it's amazing. She's got finally the way elephants should live. What we've done to elephants over these years of that whole fear of the jungle was so far away and the circus like brought the jungle to your backyard. You know, folks, we're in the age of technology now. Yeah. These elephants need to roam 25 miles a day minimum for their feet. They're large. That's
and they need
they
to
need
be
to
in
do.
A big group, too.
And they're groups.
Yeah.
And females never separate. They've been separating them and torturing them, beating
Horrible.
Them to submission, even zoos. So now it's time to stop. So, Elephant Sanctuary, but again, like Native Foods is a place. Well, what do you do when you want to stop eating meat or learn to eat healthier? You got to have a place to do that. So, Native Foods is a choice. I feel the Elephant Sanctuary is a choice for where people should retire their elephants, where zoos and circuses can now go and just say, this is right. This is, you know, where they should be. And so that's what the Elephant Sanctuary does. I think it's great. And go to it, check it out.
Yeah,
so.
It's really cool. And on a related note, we're not even going to get into the news segment that we would normally do here on Talking Animals, but one thing I pulled, in case we did, is have you been following this story about Ruby the elephant?
You know, it's funny you should mention it, because I think Ruby's going to become the official mascot of Native Foods. Because what
oh,
is
yeah?
the largest, strongest mammal in the world? It's
yeah.
the vegetarian, vegan elephant, so she really fits well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to change the name of our elephant chocolate cake to Ruby's elephant chocolate cake.
Cool.
I know, I get like emotional with this.
Well, let me
you
just, yeah, for people who
this.
Don't know, Ruby was at the LA Zoo and had, I want to say Gita. What was her best
Gita
friend's
was
name?
Her Gita. Best friend,
yeah.
Gita for
so for
years.
16 years, they were together, they were companions, and for reasons that are, you know, too preposterous or complicated to get into now, the LA Zoo sent Ruby to the Knoxville Zoo. split up, obviously, this this close friendship that they'd had.
From SoCal to freezing cold temperatures.
Right. And she's not integrating at all. She's miserable. And then
swaying.
The thing that just blew my mind on top of that, I mean, that's just awful enough because she's just in a small little space. She's swaying all the stress signs. And then I just heard they brought in this elephant trainer, Alan Rucroft, who is known for being, you know, done some pretty awful things down at the San Diego Wild Animal Park to their elephants. And there was a notable, like a pretty huge case with Dunda, the elephant. So now they're going to bring him in to try to integrate her, like, forcefully.
It's horrible. I would go down there and just, I will fly down there and give out elephant chocolate cake to people. I mean, it is something about that just fired
they've
me up.
They just got to, and now I think the hope, once the hope was to get her back to the zoo and back with Gita, I think people have sort of, because we had Catherine Doyle on the show.
Oh, you did.
Yeah,
she's
and
great.
She's great.
Yeah.
But I think now, this is what made me think of it, is that now the hope is get her to the elephant sanctuary.
Yeah, we're
okay?
not dealing with it. It's time to speak up, people. We can't, you know, as I heard someone say once, when there was slavery, you know, the African American community, they wanted the change, but you know what? The white man wasn't ready. When the women wanted to vote, you know, it was a time to vote, but you know what? The men weren't ready. But you know what? The African Americans were ready, the women were ready, and it's not the same thing. It's like the animals, you know what? They're ready. They've been abused too long, and these elephants, they're ready. The zoos and all that, everybody has to just kind of like think about their practices. If they don't have the right kind of facility to give them exactly what we need, which is what we're supposed to be doing in the first place, and now that we know more, we have to change.
Yeah.
So it's time to move on with that, and she needs to go to the sanctuary now. There's
absolutely
no more zoo time unless they're going to have 25 miles for her to walk and make
yeah,
it really...
And it's obviously she's totally like shutting down there.
She's shutting down.
Yeah.
And one good thing, which was sort of probably why they brought this guy in, but it's a start in the right direction, that a federal judge did with, they had an expert go down, an elephant expert, say that she wasn't integrating because through Catherine Doyle's efforts, they've had some lawsuits and they took it to federal court. The judge did say she's not integrating. They gave him 6 months to make sure something's done. Otherwise, they're going to have to do, you know, send her back.
Oh, so 6 months,
well,
see that she's integrated.
They bring this guy in to, like, hurry up and integrate her maybe. Anyway, the fact remains it's the first time in history that a federal judge has ever done anything
intervene in a case like that,
or an animal's behalf.
Yeah.
So it's got to continue. So I hope to do a little press conference through our LA store and really promote Ruby, and I don't know if I'm allowed to do it, but I'll find out after I do it.
Yeah. Not a minute before, I would hope. Yeah. No, we love elephants and Ruby. Yeah.
And
okay,
chocolate.
And chocolate. Right.
So we'll get to that too. So yeah, and saveruby.org.
Right, absolutely. It's a great website. And also there, in fact, hopefully on the website, I didn't have time to go, but where's my news story? Because there's places you can write an email.
Right now, important.
Yeah, about the Ruby thing. So let me just rattle off a few of those. The Knoxville director of the zoo is Jim Vlna, I guess. It's V-L-N-A. So it's J-V-L-N-A at Knoxville.zoo.org. So it's J-V-L-N-A at Knoxville-zoo.org. Also, the L.A. Zoo director should be bombarded with emails. That's Jay Lewis at zoo.lacity.org. And for what the heck, they have Mayor James Hahn, the email address. Let's throw one to him, mayorhahn@mayor.lacity.org. So anything you can do to put a little heat on people to make things better for Ruby would be fantastic. So you know what I'm just going to do? I have my world's shortest comedy corner because I know we don't want to keep moving here, but I'm just going to, I just thought this might be semi-appropriate. This is Dana Gould, and then we always have a little animal piece of comedy. This is sort of related. I thought you might like this, Tanya. This is Dana Gould with a little piece called L.A., Los Angeles, California, on the comedy corner talking animals.
I love Los Angeles. I love Los Angeles because it's a very liberal town. It is extremely hypocritical in what it chooses to be liberal about. Like, you can be driving through West Hollywood, see a guy in lipstick wearing a fur coat and high heels jacking off into a mailbox. People yelling at him, "Hey, is that real fur?" "Of course not."
All right, that's Dana Gould on the Comedy Corner today.
I saw
I'm talking
that guy.
To him. Yeah,
that's
he's great.
I saw the guy he's talking about.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, wow. Didn't clue into that.
I
obviously,
checked, and
okay.
It wasn't real fur. It
okay. Well, good. As long as that's been established.
What did you spread on the?
Yeah.
The
let's get back
okay,
to our Bali burgers. Yeah.
Burgers.
Yeah. For sure.
Yum. From to yum. So this is what I've taken now on our whole green bun is little vegenaise with the Bali burger right on it. Well, favorite one of my favorite ways to have it, one of the extra add-ons on the menu for the Bali burger, are the caramelized onions, which I think are just fun. So that adds a little bit of sweetness. Caramelized onions are onions that are slowly sautéed, a little olive oil for just a long time so they get nice and brown. And what happens is because it's a root vegetable, onions have natural sugar in them, and it slowly, you know, it just brings out all the slow cooking, brings out that sweetness. That's the difference also with that slow cooking with the starch converting to more of the sugar. What you do with the baked potato versus baking it in the oven or in a microwave. You'll never get that texture. I'm not a microwave fan, but you can taste the difference in a lot of stuff, and that's why a lot of people bake potato in a microwave, but the difference is really big. So then we've got a little caramelized onions. Traditionally, we have some nice shredded organic romaine. Beautiful slice of tomato and some fun curly Q red onions, and that's the basic prep for our Bali burger on the menu.
Nice.
And voila. So we're gonna dig into that a little bit. I'm sure. Yeah. Would anybody mind if they had some samples?
No. Liz, you ready for a bite?
You know,
Nance, you ready for a bite?
Enough.
I'm certainly ready for a bite.
Surely. And
maybe
then
Joey
we're gonna
would
have
be ready
dessert.
For a bite.
Joey's like watching me here.
Yeah.
Joey's
Joey knows it's
wait,
time.
Joey Soup's knows what's
on.
Going on.
Hi Joey. Hi, sweetheart.
Say hi to Duncan.
Hi, Joey.
Yes, she loves
she
to
is
be petted.
Cute.
He was okay. A rescue. They're all rescues. All my dogs are all like.
And how many? Well, maybe you can't say because
yeah, no, no, I can't
high.
Actually.
Can you say how many dogs? Okay, I don't know if you're over the legal limit. You know, when I first started doing this show, I was such a dope. Like, when I ask people that are totally in the, like, cat rescue, like, how many? And they look at me like, I can't say how many living with me. You know, it's like, oh, jeez.
Anyway. Well, I have four: two big ones, two small ones, and then we've taken in a foster care because I think sort of a lot of foster care. Anyway, I don't live in this county. So I took a foster care animal in with this horrible pound situation out where I live nearby, and they're abused wreck for the people running it. So I got the mother, she just had birth, but I had to leave her in there 9 days in case someone claimed the starving, emaciated dog that they don't give any extra nutrition to. They don't give any towels for the puppies. They just have to sleep on the concrete.
Oh,
so out of seven, we lost four. We had three survive, but two got really good homes, and the one's still looking for a home. If anybody, you know, out
wow,
there.
Cool.
It's the cutest little boy.
How old is he now?
Really, about 3 months. And then I have his mother still, who's beautiful. Sharpay mix, and the little boy looks nothing like his mother. So daddy was having
something else.
So pass this around. I'm also going to pass around. Maybe you want to open that for
sure,
napkin.
Sure, absolutely.
Because I don't
I thought I brought a napkin.
Yeah, there is a little pack.
Oh, okay.
So they don't
here
make
we go.
Too much
yeah,
dessert. I'll tell you what is also going on here is what we went on a popular little dessert snacks people like to run and take them to go, or boogie bars.
Oh, yeah.
So I brought
what
some
are in
boogie
bars?
Samples. So the boogie bars, it's good. It's boogie bars are kind of like a banana bread, but with oats and organic wheat flour. We've got almonds, toasted almonds, chocolate chips, and coconut, and vanilla. Jungle vanilla, as we say. So it is a boogie bar.
Cool.
So here we go, Bali High.
Mmm.
That's delicious.
That's great.
So yeah, but you talk with your mouth full now, please. This is the part. This is the time when we need to.
Yeah, this is what much more appealing than the sizzle is having people talk with a mouthful. But while we're talking about this, Tanya, how do you get? I mean, obviously with something like this, it would be one answer. But how do you get meat eaters to enjoy vegetarian food? I mean, are there certain qualities to, you know, something like the Bali burger that, you know, kind of lures them in, or people who are sort of on the fence, maybe I want to try it, maybe I don't. I mean, well, how do you?
Well, I kind of watch them. We have, actually, I'm doing a little work on the menu now that will be, you know, highlighting, like, first timers, try this. So it's things that they are familiar with, and we're adding something new. So there's a little bit of a, you know, it's not all new to them. So you add something familiar and something new all the time. And those that are the most, you know, popular that they might be familiar with. Pizzas are always a good hit. Mm-hmm. The burger style and the texture of the tempeh isn't too
because it's not
weird.
A big leap to make from
right,
someone
not a big leap.
Yeah.
And plus, most people try a veggie burger and they're okay. And we're trying to go beyond the veggie burger syndrome. We make our own veggie burger. There is one on the menu that I leave so people, if they're just really scared, they want a vegetable sandwich. So this will see, I'll see a lot of it. people that are more meat-based diet that don't eat vegetarian a lot, then they'll look for what they're familiar with for years past on a vegetarian menu.
Yeah.
I'll take, is there a vegetable sandwich or is there a veggie burger? And it's like, yeah, but you guys have tried some of this other stuff. But that's okay. You know, that we have a great veggie burger that we make from scratch.
It's really tasty, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a veggie burger. We have all kinds of veggie burger. But we have what we call the traditional, the Malibu veggie burger. And that's more like with soy protein. We have beets and quinoa and oats and stuff in that.
I know you have to talk, but you care to have...
No, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm bollied out.
And, Tanya, what was it? What is the... It's not a mayonnaise, but what is your...
It's called Veginaise, and it's basically... they use a... expeller pressed oils, and then they use a little soy protein for to texture it up, and just the right flavorings, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's
everybody
very nice.
Loves it. That you know, you get like a best foods fan. This people have blind tasted this best foods fans and take this over.
Do you have that prepared in your restaurant?
No, I don't. That is actually a company, and you can buy that.
So
Follow Your
commercial.
Heart makes it called Veginaise. Refrigerated section at natural food stores.
Oh, really?
You won't find it in the non-refrigerated section. So remember that or ask for it.
Cool.
Veginaise, like veganaise, what's really pronounced Veginaise. So that's, and that's it. So I just, again, for the carnivores that love it, we also have a product called seitan on the menu.
Right, I was going to ask, I mean, there's some basic things. Tempeh, which you've really done a great job of explaining, but seitan, I mean, what is that?
That's a whole, that's a protein of wheat, and that's a process of kneading flour and water. You make this big dough ball like you're making bread, and then you kind of... knead it for a long time, binds the proteins, then you rinse it under running water. All the starch washes off, you end up with this stretchy mass that gets simmered in this in a broth. It looks like a rump roast when it comes out. It has a real meaty, like deli meat consistency or thicker cut. We marinate in jerk marinade, that's our Jamaican jerk burgers. Those, it's like, I think the staff, anybody that hasn't had it before, that's everybody's favorite now. Get those jerk burgers going.
It's, yeah.
It's that little tang in that jerk marinade.
Sure.
So it gives it a nice texture. And our Philly pepper steak sandwich is a great first timer for meat eaters because it's a thin slice seitan with the peppered version of it. We have peppercorns in it. It's got a little bite going on, and then sauteed with shallots and sauteed mushrooms, onions, bell peppers on a French roll. And that works real nice. So there are certain things just because they're textured or
right, they're sort of transitional things. So it's a familiar kind of thing and or that chewy
and the texture,
quality,
yeah,
right?
And the familiarity
like,
goes with the vision, with the name of the item or what it is, and also the texture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like our Mad Cowboy, and then the soy chicken stuff works really well. The chicken, save the chicken wings.
Yeah.
They're fried.
So
oh
we might have another call. Let's see.
They're like...
Hi, you're on live on KUCI with Tanya Petrovna on Talking Animals.
Oh, hi. I had a question for Tanya.
Yes, please.
I have an answer, maybe.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering what you thought were the most interesting trends in vegetarian cooking and vegetarian eating in the last couple of years. I assume you must be on top of that.
The latest trends in vegetarian eating.
Or cooking.
Or cooking.
Yeah.
Well, basically, just vegetarian itself is
just
becoming
that,
more...
Just that it's becoming more widespread.
More widespread.
Yeah.
The National Restaurant Association, you know, recommends like 20% of your menu be vegetarian. And American Express just came out with some statistics of what restaurateurs, customers are asking for. And it's 50% of people, you know, would like to eat vegetarian meals or looking for them.
Really?
So the whole structure of vegetarianism, I mean, we know raw has been taken off as far as within the vegetarian group. The raw movement's strong, which is good, you know. People need to eat more live foods and know what raw is about. Most people, again, that, you know, coming off a processed food diet, you know, it shakes people up a little bit. But, you know, they got to start somewhere. And every time something can be said. But I think raw is probably one of the most popular. And what am I missing? The tofu diet? Have you heard of that? Just kidding.
That's right behind South Beach, I believe, isn't it?
Right behind South Beach and Atkins. Well, Atkins has a vegetarian version, I guess, or something, but the Zone does, rather, right? So you've had the popular diet structures, but they're necessarily the structured diets that are for sale, so to speak. They really don't talk about a vegetarian diet as much.
And do you, I mean, do you guys, along playing off this idea of the trends, I mean, there's four native foods now. I mean, you've done, obviously, slowly. Do you see others on the horizon, or are you guys pretty much you want to keep it?
And like I was thinking, the first thing I want to say was, we're trying to set some trends here.
Yeah.
With getting people to know about tempeh. And within our own restaurants, I'll say that when we draw the people in, that tempeh has become like a trend with a lot of people. You got to try the tempeh, or they have their favorites, you know? But we plan about four more stores in the next two years. And then from there, probably some franchises. We're really discussing that now. We have a great business advisor, and we're you know, want to take the show on the road. I mean, my goal has always been, if I can give people a choice, you know, they can then choose, but they still need the choice. And when you're driving around and there's not a lot of places to go, we should be like everywhere. Well, Starbucks, he wanted to be on every street corner, and
right.
I figure, well, there's three corners left, so we'll take one of them.
Now, can we get a sneak preview on where some of those other locations might be, or is that too soon to talk about?
Not really. Right now, they'll have to be close, and we don't know yet. We're you know, working with some real estate people and finders.
But would they be in
Southern California? Southern California right now, probably San Diego, another Orange County, another Los Angeles. You know,
yeah,
up in that,
that would make sense.
We're studying demographics currently.
And what's what vegetarian dish or dishes or type of food, in your experience, are not done that well? So may or may not, not obviously native foods, but a lot of places where then people say, I tried this, but I didn't really like
tempeh
it so much.
Tempeh is a big one, and a lot of it's commercial tempeh, and I'm not a fan of it. You know, right now it's a little heavier. It's good for things like the tempeh pate or tempeh salad, which you can make chopping it up and mashing it up with a little veggie and some herbs and things, make that good.
Yeah.
But tempeh, a lot of times it gets marinated, too, and then steamed, and I'm not a fan of it that way. I think the first time people really need to have it a little sautéed, get a glaze at the
end. They need to have it the way you just made it here, right?
The way I just made it.
Yeah.
It's the best way.
Because you always kind of do your own. I mean, isn't that kind of partly what you're known for, is you do your own sort of more homemade thing and tempeh.
Yes, and it's true. And then also, I think eggplant prepared very improperly most of the time. It should never be chewy
undercooked.
Or astringent. Undercooked. It needs to be like butter, you know?
Yeah.
Vegan butter.
Right,
so,
there you go.
It needs to be really smooth and done well that way. And just by not adding the right flavors or adding a lot of dried herbs to things, too many combinations of them,
it's
too much a strong flavor. And just a little bit of
Tanya, question
too much.
What about your pets? What are you feeding your pets?
My babies, they love tempeh and seitan.
Uh-huh.
A lot of vegetables. Whoops, sorry. Fire alarm again. Hey, wait, it's off.
Yeah.
And I do supplement with some of the dried, you know, foods that are available, you know, vegetarian version. And sometimes I'll say, because I have such a herd and because of my travel schedule, there's one that I get that has, like, some salmon from the North Sea or something. But they could be vegan. I need help until there's a I'm making my own when I'm home.
I want to ask you about pesticides, because, you know, with the, let's say, the vegetables that you have, how can we all, any of us, be sure that what's coming out of the earth has not been affected by...
Most everything has been affected at this
That's
point,
what I read.
Unfortunately.
I
mean, they
that.
Say, like, two-thirds of the water in cities now, major cities, I mean, it's all got pollutants in it. It's been years of spraying these pesticides, actually since World War II, that we've just doubled the amount we use. We
have DDT
more
in those days. And
yeah, and everything else. In the meantime, malathions, very commonly, as I hear, all of Santa Barbara area is kind of covered in malathion from the strawberry fields and what have you going.
Mm.
And then, you know, that sits in the soil for a while. So it's important now to do the best you can do, keep your liver clean by eating organic as much as you can so you don't get extra stuff.
Right.
You just want to keep the extras out, you know? And drink pure, clean water and eat the right things. So organic as much as possible. We try to do that in the restaurants too. Probably at least 60-70% of our produce is organic. And that's hard at this time for availability or when we're out, delivery schedule with the organic companies and price concerns. But all our grains, beans, and greens and soy stuff, it's always organic. And you have to worry with the GMO factors as well. Genetically modified, a lot of people don't want it. And that's what, you know, I've been in discussions with.
A big swing towards that.
So anytime you can, but the pesticides are an issue. You know, they're all the people talking about women in Northern California, highest rates of breast cancer, and a lot of spraying with the vineyards up there for years.
What about milk?
What is this milk you
soy
speak
milk?
Of? Yeah.
Well, from the moment they take the baby away from the mother,
uh-huh.
and the mother and the baby cry, and every farmer will tell you that's the hardest part of their job, because the mother has to be impregnated. You know, it's no different than humans. You have to be pregnant, and you have milk for your baby. So the moment the humans want it enough to where they have to take their babies away so that that milk is then used for human consumption, that's mean. It makes me cry. Don't do that. But you really have to think about just from that issue alone, let alone then they're artificially inseminated, so they're basically like just raped to keep them impregnated for their whole lives. And then they just, you know, will have a baby, and then they just have to give it up. If it's a male, it's veal, usually, if there's a market for veal. Otherwise, it's just left in the fields to die. You know, depending on price point, average, it's all a big money game.
Right.
And then, you know, the dairy, it goes for the babies. And yes, there's organic dairies, which try harder, but usually they're still giving up that baby. You're still taking that milk away. We eat it on everything. I mean, you have to. And what are you putting it on? The cereal aisle? Hello? That's just like more non-nutrition and just wiping out for insulin, diabetes.
So what is recommended then for a parent that once a baby, an infant and a child has finished drinking milk, let's say, from a bottle?
You know what they do in Japan a lot, too? They do it with the rice milk. They'll grind rice. The name is just escaping. It's a cute little name. They'll make drinks with more like rice grains, you know, where you can soak the grains and then puree them and strain them. You know, rice is a nice sweet drink, and you know, you just make sure they get their nutrition from other places. Calcium is much more efficient, I think, in leafy greens, and you know, lots of grains, beans, lentils, all these things have so much what kids need that they can avoid dairy and all the ramifications. A lot of kids are lactose intolerant, you know, and we're the only species that does it, you know, and in Asia they never have a problem, you know, for years they weren't milk drinkers. There's food power.
And so along those lines, and I know this is the seminars that's coming up on the Monday evening, Shoot the Breeze, is that what
they call it?
Shoot the Breeze, the evening chat?
Summer Breeze.
But so what? How do you think, you know, a baby, infant and beyond should, you know, once they get past just formula, let's say they're moving on to foods, what is, do you recommend a veggie diet for babies versus, you know, like let's, if they're right at the stage where they would otherwise have meat introduced and the baby foods, are you pro that, against that, case by case? What do you think?
Well, it's definitely case by case because it's up to the parents. So, but what I'm seeing mostly is the parents that are educated in vegetarian cuisine or eating. Basically, I've seen a lot of vegan kids. I mean, my one friend, her little vegetarian girl, just, you know, never got sick. You know, you hear all these things. They're like stronger. They never got sick when the other kids did. I don't know, you know. I don't have statistics for it, but I do know that there is a lot of them, and I'm seeing more and more at the restaurant, just case histories right here, as you know, come to Costa Mesa any day, I guess, and talk to some of the parents.
Hey, well, that sounds okay, but I wasn't sure my baby would get what he needs or she needs.
What foods are, and then when you're very surprised to find, like mung beans, for example. I mean, mung beans, very eaten common in India. They're like, 24% protein? I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Lentils, just huge amounts, you know. Oops, sorry, Joe. Yeah, she likes the lentils, too.
Yeah.
And so there's so many foods, and you know, how much food is a kid? We all just eat too much. They say, the Chinese say, a child should eat as much as fits in the palm of one hand. An adult would fit in two hands per meal, you know, that adequately.
I need some bigger hands.
I know, but still the idea of, you know, just pushing the food on the kid and making it really delicious and fun. And the biggest thing is the kid has to see their parents enjoying the same foods, because that's all it is. I mean, they see their parents loving something, they're going to do it too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents say, oh, my kid won't eat that. Start right away, you know, start early, and then if it's not around, they won't eat it. And then if you're enjoying it, you know, you have to be the example.
Cool.
Be an example of what you.
Yeah. So all right.
But wait, we have to try Boogie Bird.
Yeah. Well, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to do a little Name That Animal tune, one of our regular features here. So anyone listening, you know how the game is played. It's a Name That Animal tune, except it's always animal-related tune. And the first person who calls in will get a fabulous prize. We've got CDs. We've got books. We've got cat toys, dog collars, t-shirts, who knows, we might even talk Tanya to something from Native Food, someone calls in and wins. So, all right, so if you can identify this song, now it's a fairly familiar tune, but with a slight talking animals edge to it, but still, I think you should know it right away. So if you can name that animal tune, call it 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. All right, here's Name That Animal Tune. Can anybody name that animal tune? I think it's... I mean, it's practically like Who's Buried in Grant's Tomb, is it not? All right, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI, if you do know what tune we're listening to. Hi, you're on live on KUCI.
Hi, is it L. McDonald's Farm?
Well, yes, it is. Can I ask who's calling?
My name is Doris from Costa Mesa.
Doris from Costa Mesa. All right, now... would you like, here's the thing, Doris, because we're running short on time. Why don't you email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and we will sort out which of the fabulous prizes that you can choose from, and we'll get it to you right away.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling Talking Animals.
Love the show. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, cool. Well, now we have a little sampling of Boogie Bars as we ease into our final...
Okay, Boogie Bars have been, it's like banana bread, there's bananas, oats, organic wheat flour, organic oats, of course, as well, chocolate chips, coconut, and jungle vanilla, barley malt sweet and chocolate chips. Mm.
Very good.
Did you say jungle vanilla?
Yeah.
What is that, please?
Just vanilla. most of it comes from jungles.
Kind of. Wow, it's so good.
Yeah, it sounds good. It has to sound good, it has to taste good, then you got to back it up.
Yeah,
taste, you know?
Well, you're doing that and then
see, watch what happens when you eat a boogie bar. Is this not true? Watch. What happens with boogie bars? They're boogieing over here. You guys got to see
right.
it all of a sudden.
Especially if you have a kind of slightly hip-hop version of the name of Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
Yeah, like
it all
version.
Hooks together. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm Duncan Strauss, and we've just about reached the end. I've got a mouthful of boogie bar, but I don't care. Etiquette be damned. Of Talking Animals, and I want to really thank Tanya Petrovna for coming in from Native Foods. Again, nativefoods.com is the website. The closest restaurant is Costa Mesa on Bristol. It's in the camp right across from the lab. And Monday nights starting July 19th. There's
6 to 7. Yeah, quick hours.
Three chats, but you learn stuff. You get to sample food like we've gotten to here today, and you learn all kinds of stuff. Plus, if you bring a couple of bucks, it goes to our elephant friends at the Elephant Sanctuary, so you can't go wrong there. Anything else I should be mentioning about you or Native? Well, the cookbooks.
Just the cookbook,
the cookbooks
too.
Are fun. Awesome, and you can find out about that on the website.
On the website or at the restaurants, mm-hmm. we sell them too. And if I'm around, I'll sign them, and it's fun.
Yeah, it's the Native Food cookbooks. There's Meat Lovers.
The Meat Lovers cookbook, which is the first one. That was about 10 years ago now.
This right, is, and then there's
that's it.
There? Yeah.
The other one's in working.
Oh, okay.
I want to do the Native Foods diet cookbook, so I can get everybody on a 30-day plan and see that you can eat vegetarian, clean, you know, have good carbs. Supposed to bad carbs and moderate amounts and the right amounts, and you'd just be flying.
So anyways, it's really been great, Tanya. It's been really fun, and you know, had some great eats. Thanks to Nancy, and thanks to Liz. Thanks to our callers. And we're running a little short on time, but stay tuned.
You forgot one more.
Joey, yeah, my sweet friend Joey. That is one sweet girl. Yeah, sorry, I did not mean. No, I know. We were hanging out, and I was petting. She was right under my legs for a while, which was, you know, I really enjoyed Joey. She's very nice. Look at that sweet face.
Well, maybe you'd be interested in the baby that's available, the 3-month-old pup. That's
yeah,
available.
Right. We have
get in touch with me. Yeah,
yeah,
go
again,
to the website,
through the website and email you probably through that.
Call,
yeah.
Leave a message. Right?
Yeah,
he's
so we have
angel.
A very, if it's anything like Joey.
He was raised with his mother to the end, had mama's milk to the end. They play every day still, and he's gotten hugged from birth, so he's totally like love boy. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to close things out, as we always do, with an animal song of sorts. This is called Dogs in the Trash by the Tom Tom Club. We'll see you next week on Talking Animals. Check out the website, talkinganimals.net. Check out Tanya's website, nativefoods.com. Check out the restaurant. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Native Foods. Thank you, Joey. And we'll see you next week on Talking Animals.